It's the Nerdcast, Season 5, Episode 10.
This is Austin St. John, Jason, the original Red Ranger, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
Chip, chip, boom, boom.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Nerdcast, sponsored by Nerd Kung Fu. You could get some great and awesome t-shirts at nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd. We have a few ourselves, and we'll actually be doing a write-up for them, but welcome Nerd Kung Fu to Project Nerds, the Nerdcast. It's exciting, and now we have a new partner to share that excitement with. But tonight, I'm joined
by...
Oh, there we go. So there's Adam, and we also have Tyler on board. Erin, unable to join us. I think she's still working off Dragon Con, but that's really the big part of this post-Dragon Con, post-first week of the regular season for the Fantasy Movie League, which these two guys will have a lot to talk about, and by these two, I And then, of course, we'll be recording right before the Apple announcement. We were going to wait for it, but I'll have some family in town. So we're recording right before, but we'll definitely take a poke at some of those guesses and see if we got them right when this airs on Friday. But anyways, Adam, Tyler, Iggy.
I thought we had agreed that it was the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, not Project Nerd's Nerdcast.
I said that, but you said no Project Nerd's Nerdcast. I said Project Nerd's the Nerdcast.
That's not
bad. Now we have to. So how are we going to say it? The Nerdcast
from Project Nerd.
From Project Nerd, sponsored by Nerd Kung Fu.
Right. Brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu.
Brought to you by, supported by. Okay, that's this title's getting extensively long here. Maybe we just I don't know, leave out the Project Nerd part, because I think by now that point's obvious.
Okay.
And we're going to mention the website a million times along the way.
Especially because I've been writing all these awesome articles recently.
There you go. So recently, Metal Gear Solid came out. Adam guest on our other podcast, The Optimistic Gamers, which that episode never aired. So I don't know. Maybe you didn't guest on it. I don't know. We'll find out. But Metal Gear Solid, new one. Mm-hmm. Phantom.
Yes. The Phantom Pain.
Pain, that's right. Okay. All right. And, so how's it treating you?
Man, it's super, super fun. So... anybody who hasn't played, if you didn't play Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, you're okay. If you haven't played Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which if you didn't have a PSP or a PS Vita or whatever the heck Sony's calling their handheld, you might not have. Go find the Metal Gear Solid HD collection. It's in there. You can play it on your PS3, or maybe that's moved up to PS4 already, and play that game. It is... I would want to play that game before I played Metal Gear Solid 5, before I played The Phantom Pain. Partly because of story, even though they cover a lot of the story through like cassette tapes and things that you can find, briefings for Metal Gear and The Phantom Pain, sorry. But the strategy in Peace Walker was a little bit different than you had in any of the other Metal Gear games, and that strategy is pretty crucial to The Phantom Pain.
It's confusing. I mean, this side of like the Zelda franchise and the movie Primer, like the chronological order of Metal Gear games is baffling to me, and I've played a lot of them.
Well, all right, chronologically, you play through Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zero. Zeros, plural there, sorry. Metal Gear Solid, The Phantom Pain. And then you go to Metal Gear, the actual, like, I don't even remember what system that came out for.
But it's almost like dealing with the Fast and Furious franchise, basically.
Oh, it's worse than that. It's way worse than that.
Because it's like...
this one's after Japan. This one's before Tokyo Drift. I don't know what's going on anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like...
you bounce back and forth. But you have Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2, or Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty, and then Metal Gear Solid 4 Guns of the Patriot would be your chronological order there, in terms of the story at least. Obviously, that's not how they released.
Yeah, exactly. Can you go back? Can you go back and do that in release order now?
Release order: Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear.
No, Metal Gear.
Metal Gear, Metal Gear 2, Solid Snake, Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Metal Gear Solid 4.
Sons of Liberty?
Guns of the Patriot.
Guns of the Patriot, yeah.
Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
So anyways, The Phantom Pain is out.
It's really good, too.
If you have any Metal Gear experience, even if you don't, I mean, I know you might lose some in that continuity, but, you know, the games, people have picked up this franchise and other franchise, you know, along the way and played them and been just fine with it.
Yeah, this game, they do, like I said, they do a really good job with backstory in terms of getting it to you. It's just told through exposition, so you're not doing anything. They're just talking to you through a cassette tape. So if you don't mind that type of storytelling, you can pick it up and they'll walk you through kind of what has happened in a, oh, you remember this, right? Blah, 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 blah. It'll tell you everything that happened, and you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Now I know what's going on. You just won't, they don't obviously go into what's going to happen in the future, that if you played the games in their release order, you kind of already know the future of where we're going here. But I think this is the game Hideo Kojima has always been wanting to build. Like, the ideas and the gameplay behind Metal Gear Solid, I think, were always a little ahead of their time. Like, you go play the first one and it's like locked camera and they do all this weird exposition to kind of explain how you're able to do the things you're able to do. But this game is just you against untold number of people. You you can play it however you want to. You can be completely stealthy. You can go completely psycho and kill everybody. It's whatever you want to do. It's really, really fun.
And if you bring in any new, like, novel ways of doing things, like switching the controller to port 2 or changing the system clock so one of the characters dies of old age, kind of nonsense?
I don't know. To be honest, I've played I'm taking my time, because you get to build a base and so you have to find material, so each mission takes me about a half hour because I spend a lot of time just looking for stuff. You can also collect cassette tapes that the Soviet soldiers are listening to, so I've, like, you know, picked up Rebel Yell by Billy Idol and stuff like that. But it's really entertaining, because if you take a tape that they're listening to, they freak out, like, and it alerts all the soldiers immediately. They're like, hey, why'd our tape stop? And they come looking up for their cassette tape.
But if you're spending all that extra time on missions, how are you ever going to get S++++, whatever?
Oh, so they've stopped it at S from what I can tell. And I don't, but I'm okay with that, because I'm finding things that I need to find. It's just really, really good. Like I said, I think this is really what Kojima has wanted to do and has wanted a Metal Gear game to be for, you know, whatever it is now, 26, 27 years. And now the hardware and the engine are finally caught up enough to really kind of allow him to build the game he wanted to build. It's so far really good and absolutely beautiful.
So what you're saying is Konami did him a favor. Like, he's reached the peak of his abilities. It was time to just cut him loose. It was all downhill from here.
Oh God. I don't know. All of that still hurts. I don't know what to think about it. I'm still of the mind that I'm hoping that, you know, some awesome studio like Naughty Dog or, who does BioShock?
Irrational, but they
shut down. That's right. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, maybe Bethesda or Naughty Dog, like, just go, hey, Hideo Kojima, we've got a lot of money. You want to make a cool video game? And I'd be really excited about that.
Well, besides that, on ProjectNerd.com, you also shared the 10 best Metal Gear Solid moments, and these go back a ways too. So it's from the franchise as a whole. Pretty interesting, but you can check that out over at projectnerd.com.
My favorite moments for sure. And I say this in the post, I don't know if they're the best, but they're definitely my favorites, because there's some they just did, have done. Hideo Kojima has just done some amazingly cool things throughout this game series. But yeah, definitely check that out. I think it's good. I mean, obviously.
Besides Metal Gear Solid, Mad Max, Fury Road, also dropped on Blu-ray and DVD. Did y'all pick up any version, or you just been too busy with Metal Gear Solid, Adam?
Too busy with Metal Gear Solid and the season 10 of Supernatural.
That's right. Yeah, you'll
be reading that. I'm totally, like, completely immersed in that right now. So that's eaten into my Metal Gear Solid time a little bit, which is hurting me personally. But it's a really good season, so I'm actually okay with it. I'm okay.
Tyler, Mad Max for you?
No, I didn't pick it up yet. I've been really busy this week, and then yesterday, after holding out for a whole 6 days, I finally cracked and started reading The Shepherd's Crown. So.
And finished reading The Shepherd's Crown.
No, I started. I started at like 2 a.m, so I'll finish it tonight. But it was a little hard going. Those first few chapters were. It's gonna be an emotional roller coaster for me. I can already tell you that much.
So, also happening recently was, which Aaron's not here to brag about being there, was Dragon Con. So, Dragon Con, always an exciting event for us and probably many others in the geek community, especially those on the cosplay side. Of all the cons, it's definitely this is the cosplay con, that's for sure. And they broke 70,000 this year, so 70,000 people. You say crammed in the 3 hotels, but mostly in the Marriott lobby, especially after 5 p.m. And then, of course, I think they hit the $1 million mark on the charity fundraising this year, if I remember correctly. I could be way off on that number, but it was some drastically large number, or at least they're expecting to hit that. I could be very wrong, because now I want to say it's actually $100,000. That makes more sense. Iggy's a liar. But anyways, either way, each year they pick a charity for fundraiser, and I can't remember what percentage of the profit goes to it. And every year benefits something. But for the most part, I mean, a good experience, always fun. To explain what I mean by this is the cosplay convention. Normal convention, we leave, we'd share with you about, you know, Monday through Friday, the week after, we'll share with you for Monday or Thursday or Monday through Friday, we'll share with you 4 to 5 galleries, anywhere from 12. It's a big show, 18 pictures a gallery. We're sharing quite a few more galleries this week. We're doing 2 galleries a day from each day of the show, plus a gallery for the parade, because they do have a parade that has over 90,000 people just show up to watch that don't normally go to the convention. So favorite costumes, I would have to say, are, there was a lot of fun ones. I think people went the route, a lot of people went away from the big build route and went more of the let's have a good time, fun time type costumes. A number of ones I asked our photographer that we worked with to not share this one for the gallery, but there was a pedo bear with a Subway t-shirt and holding up a big pair of jeans.
I saw that one. Pretty sure I saw that one on Reddit yesterday.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. That was on the funny side. A lot of other ones.
Did you see the happy mask salesman?
Yes.
Because I saw him on internet and he looked awesome.
And then, of course, the groups that we're hanging out with, namely Cause Awesome Studios, you know, bringing their A game, Turbo Kid, which I still haven't watched it. They're freaking out about it. But basically, it's like a low budget independent movie, which is basically like Mad Max on BMX bikes. So Stephen K. Smith. So they watched this movie on Sunday before Dragon Con. And a few of the Cause Awesome people build complete costumes. And then Stephen K. Smith builds the complete villain costume, all within the matter of a couple days before Dragon Con. They get the images shared by the movie, the people, the filmmakers reaching out to them and stuff. All that was fun. But
of course they do.
Of course they do. Of the biggest elaborate costumes, I think a lot of Star Wars, obviously, this year, but a lot of hot, like, very high-end Star Wars builds. Daft Punk style costumes are always popular there. Personal favorite of mine, I saw, of course, you see the Mandalorian armor and the Daft Punk helmet. And then the Boba Fett Rocketeer crossover I saw done too. That was a really nice one. But a giant, like, basically like a, just a giant machine walking around, and he had a big TV on his chest showing Dragon Con stuff. So that was that one was an impressive build. Even the big names, I'll put it out there, you know, throwing up air quotes for that, the big names, the Yaya Hans, those types of people. I mean, even Yaya Han, I think it was Sunday night, she wore just a geeky dress, pretty much, didn't even have the costume out. So, and it was crazy because and people are rightfully so, you know, complaining about the heat because it's Atlanta Labor Day weekend. And the humidity is ridiculous down there. But this is it was a nicer weekend compared to years past. So I don't know. A lot of fun party costumes. You're seeing a lot of stuff, of course, come across ours. And then I said you could check it out all over the place. Just search Dragon Con cosplay anywhere. But yeah, we'll have like 9 or 10 galleries, floor galleries on projectnerd.com. But of course, we grabbed a couple ourselves, and then we'll be sharing some from our friends, photographer friends that were also in attendance. But yeah, Aaron's not here to brag about what she wore. So,
question.
Yeah.
So for a, I don't want to say normal convention, for a kind of your standard convention, you show up, there's a big room where you go for like the floor. And I'll do air quotes for that as well, because all of them are a little bit different, but generally there's one large room that has your vendors, your comic creators, your celebrities, your any other geeky things that might be there. You have then panel rooms and stuff like that attached to it. Usually you're talking a convention center or a hotel with several different meeting rooms, that kind of thing. How, as someone who's never been to Dragon Con, walk us through how so not the cosplay side of the convention, but the convention side of Dragon Con, walk us through kind of what that's like and how it would compare to, you know, let's say some of the larger ones we go to, like C2E2 or or Denver Comic Con, that kind of stuff.
If you're looking for like something like an artist alley, I mean, there is something there, but it's nothing going to be like a C2E2 or a Denver Comic Con 2 that we've talked about each year, you know, on the podcast about how large those artist alleys are. Those ones have quite a bit. This is a very small room, probably 4 rows of like, you know, each side has 10 to 12 on each side. So, I mean, you're talking 50 people set up max. The biggest one set up there is Aspen, sets up every year. And then of course, Tom Hutchinson and Big Dog, now an imprint of Aspen. They were there as part of that one. They usually have like a 3 to 4 booth layout on one of the end caps. And, of course they were set up there, but most, you don't find the Marvel, the DC, those types. This is not a show where you get that big stuff going on. Now, at the same time, this is not a show where you find a lot of independent creators, local artists, things like that either. You're going to find the Joe Benitez, the George Perez's, those types of people, the types of people that love the cosplay, you know, because if you start looking at those big group galleries, especially on the DC side, you already see Perez in half of those photos standing right in the middle. But and then you go. So you go across a few sky bridges to head over to the American Conference Center. I can't remember what it's called. It's attached to like the American Mall. And then there's those 3 hotels attached right there. And in the American Conference Center, there's like 2 rooms, 2 that are vendor size that are also relatively small compared to C2E2, Denver, even Planet Comic-Con, but still enough there. And you'll see some big things like the Ultra Sabers or those higher priced art ones and stuff like that. That'll be there. So you'll see some good stuff. And then of course, Ultra Sabers,
did you buy me an Ultra Saber?
No, because we flew. So I didn't know, you know, I didn't want to like,
I'm pretty sure they do shipping.
Last time
I would have shipped it to us. Is what I'm
saying. Last time I asked about shipping, they're like, just go on the website. But I'm like, but it's like 20,
I want that. I want the con pricing, man.
So anyways, I have a costume idea for Dragon Con next year, and it requires the multicolor lightsaber, but changes the colors. So from Ultra Sabers, so we'll see. Anyway, so there is that stuff there, but it's definitely not the center of attention. The biggest things are, of course, the Hyatt, Marriott, and Hilton, the 3 main hotels. The Hyatt, the basement will be some smaller panel rooms, and then your registration, your press stuff and all that like that. The Marriott, couple main floors of just the hangout, the cosplay stuff, you know, a few vendors, some food vendors, and then the celebrities on the lower level and the celebrity photo ops, and then the big panel hall. So where the big panels have taken place, And the cosplay competition happens over at the Hyatt as well. The Hilton, much smaller, but if you get into the basement, that's where the LARPing and the gaming and all that stuff's going on. And then on the backside of the Hilton's where these big, big photo shoots go on. So the big Marvel, DC, Game of Thrones, Destiny this year was added to the collection of large photo shoots. So these are organized, like they're literally, the DC one, we were out there for that one. You would say a minimum 600, 700 cosplayers show up to these shoots. And wow. So much so that they have directors for each section and they're like, okay, Justice League over here, Young Justice or, you know, Teen Titans over here, Gotham City over here, Superman, Wonder Woman over here. Like they separate them out in sections and then they'll kind of bring them back together and be like, okay, the Trinity, you know, the Trinity and their villains, you know, we're going to do that shot and stuff. And then we organized on the back end of that too, the Arrow one. So that's the photo gallery we'll be sharing. So I think 9 or 10 Arrows, 5 Black Canaries in the middle, and then some Arsenals across the front and, you know, a lot of, so pretty cool. But there's definitely tons of them. And it's the idea. And what I really like about it, because it's all that cosplay community idea of where it's like, hey, there's 8 Zatannas right here. There's 10 Hawkmen across the back with their giant wings. Not, okay, just one Hawkman in there and you're the best. So you're going to be in this photo. You know, it's nothing like that. It's like, just get them all in there and check it out. So it's exciting. We have, we met the guy, Tyler, you know, that you served on his panel at Planet Comic Con, the guy who actually runs those shoots. Funny story I'll have to tell you off air though, but the gentleman who ran that panel that you jumped on.
Bill?
Yep, Bill, thank you.
Bill Waters, he's a good guy.
He actually runs, he's the one who kind of sets all that up, and then he has another one or two main people, and then what they do is for each section, they get like directors and a photographer for each area. And then of course, this year was a little bit better because they were allowing all photographers to shoot certain areas. They were still really, we'll say, stingy on some of the rules though. So, but Iggy played nice. It's okay. This year we were wise enough to partner with the J Dragon Studios or Johnny Lee. He also costumes, to actually take a lot of our photos for us. So that made sure we got plenty of content. But as you can see, it's very cosplay focused. It's a 24-hour type thing for 5 days. One thing that really put me off, and I wish Aaron and Laura could get a modern sex and kind of talk about it too, was I think the thing that put me off the most, one is this is not a show you need to have your kids at past 7, like past 7 p.m. Get them out of there. Treat it like it's a normal con. Get them off the floor. Get them gone. Because after 7, it is literally just a one giant party. And it's crazy. I'll just put it that way. But the biggest thing that got me was the Saturday was a lot more than normal than we've seen at Dragon Cons we've been to, of people coming in after the parade. They sold a lot of one day badges for that. And so just families that are out and around there. So a lot of families, which was kind of cool because a lot of them obsessing over that, made it a lot more congested in walkways and stuff. But there was one family and, you know, the moms all and dad are all pointing out all these characters. Look at this zombie. Look at this like person with blood and all this stuff. And then this one girl, it's Dragon Con, walking through as a Victoria's Secret's angel, you know, or whatever. So she's got the wings and she's just wearing straight lacy underwear. That's it. The mom straight blocks the kid's eyes and starts bitching and complaining about the type of stuff they let in here. Right after she's just pointing out like a bloody zombie to the 5-year-old kid, 4 or 5-year-old kid. I don't know the exact age. And it opened up a huge discussion for the group we were with, of course, about the backwards priorities on that of nudity compared to that. And at the other thing, I'm like, I wanted to be like, listen, lady, what's the thing here? So you don't want him to see this because of what it's portraying as women, but you'll take him to the mall. He'll see a 10-foot version that's completely airbrushed of the same thing and give him even more false expectations of what women should look like. Because this woman's not airbrushed. She's just walking through. Not only that, next time you're at the pool, are you going to block his eyes the whole time? You're going to give him blackout goggles? Hey, good luck swimming, kid. Good. You know, it's like, so I don't know what to say. I think that's a bit of an issue, but the sexy side as well as the gory side and then, of course, the elaborate side, this is the convention where those things come out, so... There is definitely a lot of sexy costumes. I've already seen a few pictures where there's a little fake, like I think one photographer did a really creative thing, like the old Batman series, like Booms or Pals, you know, with like the bow, like the comic, put those over the nipples of certain people for the photos that they were sharing on Facebook. So it's definitely, like I said, don't bring your kids there past 7. And if you have a problem with any of that stuff, then yeah, don't bring your kids there and then sit there and bitch about it. So I don't know. That's my soapbox on that. So, but overall, fun weekend. We get to see a lot of people, you know, that we see. We'll see some here, you know, we'll see some at C2E2. We'll see some here, some there. And this one, we get to see them kind of all out. But last thing on that, one of the more exciting things, or actually two things. One was the more exciting thing was we flew out of Kansas City last year. Pretty certain only people on the plane going to Dragon Con. At Denver Airport this year, flying out of Denver, 3/4 of the planes going to Dragon Con. Like, everybody's talking about it. They see, like, shirts, and you see their dresses and leggings and everything. And everybody's like, oh, you go to Dragon Con? Oh, this what's... So we gave out... I gave out enough cards at the Denver Airport before we even took off. That was awesome. So that was a pretty cool deal. But the other thing I want to talk about, which I did not witness with my own eyes, unfortunately, I don't go see a lot of the celebrity stuff at Dragon Con. John Barrowman, did y'all see him in his beautiful Doctor Who dress? There's the picture of him.
No, I didn't.
He's wearing a lovely TARDIS dress while at Dragon Con.
I love John Barrowman. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
So fantastic guy there as well. He's was pretty funny, though.
It was the actual first Google search item that popped up when I tapped in John Barrowman. It said John Barrowman TARDIS dress.
Yep.
See? Awesome.
Yeah. So pretty funny. Of course, that guy's always clever.
Yeah. He's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was for his panel. He was on stage. And as you can see, if you Google search it like Adam Tyler just did in the tweets, there's him even twirling in the dress, which is awesome. So John Barrowman, pretty awesome. But, you know, with Barrowman and everything else, you know, appropriate to talk about with other social issues going on too. Dragon Con does have a big LGBT community, and they even have like some cosplay groups that meet up and talk about that and have like an LGBT night at one of the local bars and stuff. So very supportive of that. And Barrowman, I think, I don't know how many years in a row he's been in Dragon Con, but he's becoming one of those ones like Patrick Stewart, where you can almost guarantee he's going to be there every year. So, and then Karen Gillan pulled off Fan Expo Canada, I think on Saturday, and then Dragon Con on Sunday. So impressive. Give her a big thumbs up there. Getting to all the fans at the two big conventions this weekend. So, well, that was Dragon Con in a nutshell. Of course, like I said, check out projectnerd.com for tons of great galleries. We might do a write up. And then we could have some interviews coming out of it. All right. So we talked about it before we started, but I'll give us a break from actually what's happening in terms of news, because I know we're going to talk about Apple and some other things. But Fantasy Movie League kicked off our first regular season week for the Fall League. And as I mentioned, these two guys had plenty to talk about.
All right, we're literally tired of you talking now, so Adam and I
okay. Go a little bit. Go for it.
So in last place was Iggy with literally no dollars, and then everyone else.
Let's not fudge the numbers here. Sarah, who didn't pick anything for his greens, was literally
Adam and I almost doubled you, like this close. So,
well, doubling $0 is just $0, Adam.
See, Sarah just understands that the only winning move is not to play. So she's got it all sorted out. Iggy, on the other hand, just keeps trying and trying, just banging his head against that wall. Erin's not here to brag that she's not in last place after talking about how she would be every week. So she did really well.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just got to have more faith in Nick Nolte and Robert Redford, because they bring their A game every time.
Always Robert Redford. Long weekend, Robert Redford. Old people are going to see that movie.
You got to bet
it's
on
going to get those dollars.
The one thing I will say is Adam actually beat me in total box office dollars.
Yeah, I just refreshed and.
But whoa. Because he left one of his screens empty, he took a $2 million deduction, which put me back on top again. So that was a thing that happened. So yeah, was the big winner for your most bang for your buck. So this week's a lot harder because. The three big releases this weekend are very, I don't want to say like niche movies, but they're definitely not like tent poles, but they definitely have built in audiences between The Perfect Guy, The Visit, and 90 Minutes in Heaven. I think all three of them, I think it's safe to say that those three will probably be the top three at the box office this weekend. I could not tell you who's going to win. So you've got horror comedy from M. Night Shyamalan, First movie from him in quite a while. You've got The Perfect Guy, which has been getting a ton of PR. I mean, I've seen trailers for it at the theater multiple times in the last couple weeks. And then you have 90 Minutes in Heaven, which if War Room taught us anything, it's that like that movie will make money. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how this next weekend plays out after Iggy's sharing photos that are pretty awesome. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough week, especially because there's still some movies like War Room, like Mission Impossible, like Straight Outta Compton, where you could conceivably almost put Mission Impossible or War Room, well, not War Room, but Straight Outta Compton or Mission Impossible on every screen, and it might not be the worst bet ever. So,
luckily, I think in the next few weeks we start to get at least some in there that have clear winners with The Maze Runner, you know, The Martian, and other things starting to pop out. I don't want to say I'm shocked because, like I said, we've all read the book and we liked it with The Martian, but in a way, I am kind of surprised with it's getting a lot of like pregame love here. Like people are getting excited for this movie.
For which one?
The Martian.
No, what?
Are you saying they're not getting excited for it?
Or? No, I mean, whatever.
What? Are you, okay, I don't know. Anyways,
I think it's sarcasm.
That's all right. I'll take a week one loss and win the rest of the weeks, and we'll be okay. Not worried here.
L-O-L.
Based on prior performance, I'm going to go ahead and say no. Did you win any of the first week of the first season?
Define win, Tyler. Define win.
Did you finish with more money than anyone else who was playing?
Than
everyone else that was playing.
I think my best week was like basically what you and Adam just did, but it was I don't know. It was either to one of you that I kind of finished second, like right barely. For the most part, those last couple of weeks, though, Anne came in and just wiped us clean. Which, by the way, Anne, another shout out for you.
I mean, that's the only Adam and I's only real competition. I feel like for the 13 weeks that this is going to run is going to be Anne. I'm really not worried about the rest of you.
You don't think Jared's gonna?
I don't know, Jared. I mean, Jared's got a still steep hill to climb. He's got to pump out a solid.
Jared's like the rookie of the group, though, because he jumped in right at week one. He didn't have any preseason going. I feel like he's like Jared's like that rookie. Like we've got a tall order. You're starting right out of the gate, Jared. You got to play some.
It's not so much that he's starting at a disadvantage experience wise. He's now starting at a disadvantage, like $40 million wise, which is it's nothing to sneeze at. Adam knows this. Adam came storming in strong week two, but I already had built up such a huge lead that he could beat me like 3 or 4 weeks in a row and still
just wanted to say that. Tyler just wanted to.
No. I'm saying that $40 million.
I mean, Adam understands this because
the thing is Adam and I, even if Adam and I don't win every week, we're not going to shit the bed. Like we're going to be in the running. So like those margins are going to be thin. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, we'll see what the season brings.
I enjoy being mentioned in Tyler's bragging that because I won't do that. So, being in that group, it's nice to hear. I just got to say that.
I mean, Adam is the...
Because you're either on one side or the other with Tyler, because there's no, hey, I'm just going to let you be. You're either, hey, you're great, you're with me, like Adam and Anne, or Jared, Aaron, and Iggy over there. I don't know.
I have high hopes for Jared.
All right.
I think Jared will do okay.
All right. We'll see. I'll be storming back. Don't worry. I got this covered.
I'm pulling for you, buddy.
All right. So we were going to try to hold out to record to Wednesday. Like I said, some personal things coming up with family visiting for me. But Apple, big, of course, announcement. I think the article I read that I liked the most this week was the Mashable one, or that I read today so far, was the Prime exam. It kind of opens up with, to the gentleman who popped up his Coleman tent in front of an Apple store already on Tuesday before the announcement happened. Thank you for showing us what it's really all about, because the Apple people are going to buy it no matter what kind of announcement you have tomorrow. So people are ready. They're ready for the next phone. However, at the same time, some of the things, the progress, like for it to just be a 6S supposedly and a 6 plus S, the changes between last year's model to this year's model are significant enough that I'm surprised they didn't just jump a complete model, because the touch sensitivity on the screen is a big rumor. Of course, the reduced battery size, but bigger battery life. the processor that's talking about one of the biggest jumps from one processor to the next that they've seen ever. The new, what is it they have patented? It's not the Gorilla. Is it Gorilla Glass? What's their glass patent that they have?
It's not Gorilla Glass, but
it's some other animal.
Competitive product.
Some other animal glass that's supposedly like unbreakable. Then of course the camera that's supposed to rival, SLRs and then the front facing HD camera. So you can do high
def. Now is the camera supposed to rival SLRs like out of the box or after I take it in to get it replaced 12 months later? The only reason I'm throwing that is as Apple finally in true Apple form has finally admitted, okay, there may have been a slight issue with the camera on the phone you got a year ago. If you bring it in, we'll replace it. Even though the camera you have is fine.
Because we're going to have all these extra ones here now that we're selling a new model. So I have a stack here.
Apple iPhones are fantastic devices. I just love the whole...
No,
like, we will not admit fault until like literally we've reached the point of... there's nothing better than you're holding your phone wrong. That's why you're not getting reception.
No, that one has nothing
to do with us putting the antenna in the worst possible place ever. But
that one was definitely my favorite on the biggest cop out one. But then I don't.
Here's a free rubber case.
My favorite response actually might have been, our bad. Just use Google Maps. Like the
funny. Like,
they just gave up.
We understand we're driving you into the middle of a lake. Just go ahead and use
Google. I think when it comes to software, they're more willing to take the hit. But when it comes to the hardware, like the camera, and it wasn't like the camera was something that just came up recently. Like from day one of the phone coming out, people are like, my camera doesn't look good. Like, other cell phones take better pictures. And then 12 months later, like, okay. There might have possibly been a problem with some of the cameras we sent out.
Well, then, for certain users, this is going to be a huge leap in camera technology then on the back of their camera on the phone. The big thing, though, the one thing that I liked a lot was the 1080p 24 frames per second for the front-facing camera. To me, that's pretty big on video. Impressive, especially when you're talking about how many people now FaceTime, Skype, do all these. What's the big thing right now? The Dove Smash and the... what's the other? I'm showing my age right now. What's the other social media group that everybody likes?
None of them matter just because Tom Hardy does amazing Dub Smash and all other social media. Tom Hardy's is unbelievable.
I don't know. Haley Atwell might be the Dub Smash champion because she gets all the best guest stars on her Dub Smashes.
Well, yeah. But Tom Hardy does Whitney Houston, My Heart Will Go On. So... I feel like you're invalid. Your argument's invalid.
I don't know about this.
You need to get on the interwebs.
I do. Well, let's talk about what Project Nerd's been up to lately. Anyways, so that front-facing video I think is a big progression. And I think a lot of phones are heading that direction to where that front camera now that used to not even be on these phones and then got added to it is now showing that it's, this lens is just as important as the one on the back, especially for video. So that's a pretty cool. Of course, at the time we're talking about it, these are all rumors. But usually when you're a day or two out, these rumors are pretty solid confirmed. The one, though.
Usually when you're a month or two out, these rumors are pretty solid.
That's the other thing, too. This year, it wasn't 3 months ago we were hearing about it or finding phones lost in a bar. It was actually just a week or two before.
Not about the phone, but we definitely were hearing about the other things. Like, we've been hearing about the Apple TV for a while now.
Yeah. So. But the biggest thing with the phone that I would like to see if this rumor comes to be, which it seems like a far kind of fetched one, was they have a patent on some kind of weighting system to where basically when it falls, it turns your phone into a cat. It's going to land on the backside every time if it falls from a certain distance instead of on the screen.
But if the glass they use is supposed to be unbreakable, why are we worried about that?
Because the camera they use is supposed to be fantastic too, and the antenna now built into the side of the phone shouldn't interfere with holding it.
Right, holding
except
it,
for except for the one out of every 10 that they install the gyroscope in upside down and it immediately flips itself onto its face.
Yeah. not to mention the maps that shouldn't be driving you into the middle of the ocean. But anyways, I don't know. Some cool technology things there. Nothing that says, oh, this phone is completely different, but enough to say, man, these are enough technology advancements that if I'm out of contract somewhere and I'm an Apple iPhone user, this is something to consider, you know, for that full price. Because normally for me, I skip the S, the C, the whatever they throw in the middle. I go, you know, from the 6 to the 7 to whatever every 2 years. And because usually places like Best Buy, wherever, will offer enough trade-in incentives too that you nearly, as long as you're signing another two-year agreement, you're getting the phone pretty much for free again. So this one, that stuff moves far enough, I might consider it. So besides the iPhone, of course, there's the iPad and the Apple TV. But for those that follow those specific early ad leak websites, they can already kind of get a glimpse of what the iPad's going to hold, because Target had it on their cover, has it on the cover page of their ad, and their ad leaked out a couple days early. So head on over there. Check out.
Well, that'll happen. Yeah. Yeah.
But then, of course, like I said, Tyler mentioned in the past, I think all summer, really, since the iPhone rumors were sparse, the Apple TV has been the big talking point. As you know, there's a larger price, a lot of stuff now about gaming and more high-def services and more streaming services. So I think the latest rumors we saw that were supposed to be more defined rumors were saying that it's going to start at $149.99, come with a control that can double as like a gaming control, and come with a variety of game options that are supposed to, you know, that social type gaming, that little the phone games that really over the past year or two have been not as big. And a lot of those companies are actually even laying off employees. They're going to try to, I guess, move that to your television now. So I don't know. I think it's a little late in the game for the game, I guess.
I see what you did.
No pun intended.
You shouldn't have done it, though. No, we touched on it a little bit last week. I don't understand the Apple TV. I don't know. I mean, Apple tries to be innovative, and in this case, they're behind several other companies, and they're just not doing it as well. So, I mean, even when they've come late to a party, they recently at least have brought more or something different or done it better. Yeah. And in this case, it doesn't really seem like they're doing it, and they're going to charge more money. So I don't know. I don't really know what it's doing. Like I said, I'd rather them funnel those efforts into making the Mac Mini a better product, and really giving me a computer that can do can do all the things the Apple TV can do,
and be a computer.
TV. Yeah.
Right, well, yeah, and they've really abandoned the Mac Mini line. But I think the big thing is it's been a really long time since you could say that Apple did anything that was innovative. Like, they don't innovate anymore. But they're really good at refining innovations that came, you know, a year or 2 years ago. Like, they weren't the first people on the market with an MP3 player, but they came out with a sleek and awesome one. They weren't the first people on the market with a super thin, like solid state thin, like laptop, you know, ultrabook, but they did it really well. Same thing with the phone, same thing with the MacBook, all the stuff. But the Apple TV, not only is it not innovative, but it doesn't refine anything. Like, the Apple TV does two things that no other streaming device can do: access stuff you own or rent on iTunes, and mirror your iPhone or your iPad or your Mac. And it can not do a ton of things that every other streaming device can do for maybe a fifth of the price, between the Fire Stick, the Chromecast, the Roku, hell, the WDTV Live Hub. I mean, there's so many other streaming devices out there that do everything that Apple does and then some for significantly less money. I mean, it was just like a year ago that they finally made it 1080p.
Right. Yeah. And if you want to take that a step further, there are, you know, the market they're going for it. Like, I don't know who doesn't already own one of those products or one of the new generation gaming systems, an Xbox One or a PS4, that can do all of that stuff already, and including those, you know, social games or whatever you want to call them, all those different style of games that anybody can pick up a controller and play easily. So I don't know where their market share is, what portion of the market they're trying to even go after. Like, I guess that's my confusion with it.
I think, as Tyler said in the past, and somebody who has a lot of Apple products, I'll even like concede to this, is their attack point is they're just going to hit the Apple fanboys with it. The people who have to have everything Apple. Cause at the end of the day, I agree. I have a Chromecast already. And if I'm going to drop money for a second device, it's going to be another Chromecast, or I'll spend what, the $5 to $10 more to get an Amazon Fire Stick so I get all my Prime stuff streamed easily over to, you know, like that's, those are the ones I'm looking at. I'm not going to spend $150 for games that I could download for 99 cents on my phone, and I'm not going to play 3 months after I started playing them. And like you said, not get the other features. I don't even, as much as I use Apple devices, I don't use iTunes for a lot of that stuff. And it's not even Apple's fault that iTunes is the way it is. It's set up that way to prevent this empire of a music software to not be a monopoly. But to me, that makes it worse. Like, I don't want to be limited to five devices for this song, or you're compressing it even more than these other streaming services that offer, you know, like, so I don't know. I think it's the people who just like Tyler said, wants that Apple name.
Yeah. And I think I'm super confused by the game move. Like, the whole games on TV that aren't computer or console has been tried so many times, and it fails miserably every time, because they've tried it on smart TVs, the Wii, and stuff like that, things that are the equivalent of phone games. I mean, the best you can do with those processors and that storage space is the equivalent of like an iPhone game or a browser game or an iPad game. And people have said over and over again, from Roku to Samsung TVs to whatever, that they don't want that. Like, I can spend $150 and play some bad games and get some streaming stuff, yeah. Or I could spend another $50, get an old PS3, play good games, and do all the same streaming stuff that the Apple TV
does. But that's the other thing too, is it's not even that this isn't, that it's already been tried and it's no longer there. Like, this is a market that's dying, as we mentioned, even on the phone level. Those, you know, the Roxio, the what are these other companies that were these huge companies, the one that did Words with Friends and stuff,
Zynga.
Yeah, they've spent the past 2+ years now laying off employees because those downloads aren't the same anymore. People aren't spending all this time playing these games. I don't get 30 invites on Facebook anymore for a social game each day. It's down to like one or two a week, which hopefully
and has, you know who you are, and you stop it.
Exactly right. Those of you that are still sending those. But
seriously, we stopped playing Trivia Crack like a year ago. You can send me invites for it.
Yeah. So, you know, those, it's like, the only person left playing the whatever, the Candy Crush, is my mom. Like, nobody else is playing that game anymore. So,
well, and it's not even the fact that people don't play them; it's the fact that they aren't any good. Like, if I can play that. I can sit on the couch and play that on my phone. I don't need to play Candy Crush on my giant big screen TV. If I'm going to use my big screen TV to play a game, it's going to be a real game. You know, it's not going to be something that can run on a M processor and, you know, 640K of RAM.
Agreed. It is a weird thing. And we could all, you know, I don't know. I'm still waiting for one of these times where Apple hits the stage and announces this thing that everybody like drops their jaw, and it's nothing like the rumors. And Tim Cook and company are just like, we leaked all this fake stuff and totally got you guys. Like, but I mean, at the same time, it's probably not going to happen, because, you know, the leaks are, I think, also part of the corporate thing of building up this demand and this interest. So, but I think we're all on the same page. Everybody else we've talked to, or even other, you know, articles we've read on large sites to small sites, agree that what's being rumored about this Apple TV just doesn't really make sense at this point.
Yeah, so maybe we'll be wrong. I mean, I'd like for there to be something better than what's out there, but I don't see it. Not at this time anyway. So maybe we'll be wrong. Hopefully we'll be wrong.
I mean, let's talk about something sort of Apple related that is, for all intents and purposes, awesome on every level. And that is the new Danny Boyle, Aaron Sorkin movie premiered at Telluride Film Festival this last weekend. And apparently everyone thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
Well, just by the two names you mentioned, I mean, are you shocked?
And I mean, the biggest thing is there's a lot of interviews floating around with people who interviewed Wozniak, who was at the premiere, Steve Wozniak, and said it was uncanny. It was like watching the actual Steve Jobs on screen. Apparently,
that's Fassbender for you.
Fassbender kills it. Apparently, what's his name?
But you announce Fassbender, and your initial reaction's like, oh, he's a great actor. I think he can do fine in any role. But does he really have that Steve Jobs look? And then you see the first images, and then you see the trailer, and you're like, who is this Fassbender guy? Like, when did he become Tom Hardy to where he could just be thrown into any role and probably make it work? Maybe even more so. I really, really like Fassbender as an actor. And I think the trailer showed it. And then, like you said, that now those, that that know the situation, the reviews, the stuff are coming in, speak to Fassbender's performance. So,
but yeah, apparently Fassbender's fantastic. Apparently Seth Rogen as Steve Wozniak is really good. Obviously also Jeff Daniels, Kate Winslet. And like we said, Danny Boyle directing, Aaron Sorkin writing the script. You can't get two better guys out there right now than that. But yeah, the reviews that have been coming out of Telluride have been glowing at worst and over the moon at best. I mean, it's been like the Oscar game is strong with this one. So it's definitely going to get some nods.
I think so. I think for very sure. And it'll be good to see Fassbender in an Oscar nominated movie that's not him portraying some kind of terrible person, some sex addict or slave donor or something like that as of late. So, but I don't know. He does a great job. I mean, a variety of roles there, and I think he'd be good in it. So since we're on the movie news too, I find the one. Where are we at there? Of course, when I go to bring it up, I forget about it, but the Spectre song is announced this week.
Oh, yeah. Sam,
see?
Sam Smith.
Thank you.
That's the one. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's a really hard last name to remember. I understand.
it's difficult.
Shut your mouth.
It was the first name that tripped me up, those three letters. But yeah, Sam Smith. So that's interesting. I'm always interested to see what Bond song, you know, comes out. I don't think there was a lot of love for it, but I liked, was it Another Way to Die with Jack White? And who was it? I don't know.
Like you can literally line up every Bond song in a row, and there's some really good ones back in the day, but there was a pretty big lull there until Skyfall, and Skyfall just killed it.
Oh, Skyfall is so.
Like there was the rumors were really strong that Adele would be doing this one again after how well received Skyfall was. So I don't know.
I think they've gotten back to fitting the song to the movie. And I think that's what they got away from for a long time.
Yeah, it was just a pop song for
right
times there.
Right, but I think the feel of Skyfall song in movie really kind of mesh well together.
Well, they got away. There's two things that a good Bond song has, and that is number one, the title of the movie and the song, and number two, it works really well for background music for the silhouettes of naked women to languidly move around on the screen. Like if it can't do those two things, it's not a good Bond song. Like those are the only two requirements. And they got into some movies there that were a little too poppy, a little too fast paced. And the silhouettes of naked women swimming, diving, jumping, languidly, just kind of moving. It didn't fit the music.
This is the, that's the most important part of any Bond movie for Tyler is that how are the silhouettes?
It's not the most important part, but it is the most, like, that's the only part of the movie that you get the song in. Maybe a remix of it over the closing credits, but you're going to hear the song once and it's going to be over a montage of silhouetted naked women with some colors thrown in and some gunshots. And that's it. And then you'll hear pieces of it. Like you'll hear pieces of the non like vocal version of it, usually spliced into like the score, but the song's going to play one time and it's going to play over the opening credits with silhouettes of naked women. And that's what I need. And it needs to fit that well.
I'm not complaining.
He's not wrong. He's definitely not wrong.
I mean, it's very true. And you're exactly right. It does need to flow, just like if it was anything else that was there, it would need to make sense to go with it. But, I love your enthusiasm about those silhouettes of naked women doing.
It's not that I'm enthusiastic about that part of the song. I enjoy those sequences. The title sequences are fun. I'm just saying that is the quintessential Bond song. It needs to be able to do. If you can't put the name of the movie in the lyrics, and it doesn't mesh well with silhouettes of naked ladies, it's not a good Bond song. Like that's a given.
I don't know. And I at the same time too, I appreciate that that's been a consistency since early Bond. Like this is, you know, to expect that in that sequence, and it kind of pays homage to all the Bonds of the past too, you know? So that's kind of a cool thing. Like that opening sequence where, you know, you're going to walk into the gun barrel, he's going to turn and shoot through the gun barrel and you're going to see, you know, all that going on. I like that because that's what you've seen for what, 20, is it 24 or 25? I don't know. How many Bond movies we're at right now? I feel like there's 24 official ones, because I know we have, was it Never Say Never, and we have the other, the original Casino Royale and things like that. But
now here's the question: which movie was the first Bond movie to incorporate the gun barrel sequence? Because it's not the first one.
It's not Doctor No.
No, it is Doctor No.
Is it? Then that's the first one. Yeah, then it starts.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's what I meant, Doctor No. But it is the first one. But then it was like, apparently it was gone for a little bit and then came back. I don't know.
No. So. Yeah, Doctor No. I mean, that's the first Bond movie from like your MGM, what now Sony has part ownership of that series of Bond. Because didn't you have the first
oh, sorry, that's what I was thinking it wrong. The first one to actually use the actor playing Bond to do it, because in the first few, it wasn't Bob Simmons did it in Dr. No. It wasn't until Thunderball that it was actually like Sean Connery doing the actual.
Well, wasn't, I thought like the first few were, was the same clip even. It was like,
yeah,
change there. I don't know. As you can tell, as we always lead to it, there's two things through, and they'll happen after the release too, that you can be guaranteed to hear on a podcast from us in terms of movie news. Something about The Martian and something about Spectre. Those are going to be talked about on every Nerdcast for the past
few months. You skipped one.
Why, of the movie things?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Star Wars.
I don't know if you know this, but Force Friday just came and went.
Yeah.
And
it was yes, so let's talk about Force Friday. So here's what I did Friday morning.
How about toys?
Yeah, don't even talk to me. I don't even want to talk about it right now, because my toy is on pre-order for an undisclosed amount of time from Amazon right now. So Friday morning, I'm a Barnes & Noble member, so you get 10% off. So you're talking about this BB-8 toy that's 150. Now all of a sudden is 135 there. I had a 20% off coupon off any, good for any item in the store. Just saved me another $30 right there. So we're down to $105. $105 to get that BB-8 droid. So I call the only Barnes & Noble right in that area. It's on Georgia Tech's campus, unfortunately. So they didn't get any of the Star Wars stuff because it's a campus store. The next closest one, of course, is like out in the – because, you know, Barnes & Noble isn't – I know in some a lot of the newer like downtown redevelopments you'll see stuff like that. But Atlanta downtown, not a lot of Barnes & Nobles. And I wasn't about to pay like a $50 Uber ride to save me $50 to go get
the defeats the purpose. Yeah,
yeah.
For sure.
My thought is, okay, one of the local ones will still have it come Monday when I get back. Yeah. But those were gone by noon. So you can either pay right now. I think they've gotten down to about in the low 200s on Amazon through third party, or you can just go ahead and pre-order. I think Bed Bath & Beyond even is taking pre-orders for the second run, but the date's undisclosed right now. It's not, so don't run out there and pay $500 on eBay and anything for it. The BB-8's awesome because it isn't a limited edition thing. Like, Sphero is going to release a new set of them, so, but I have to wait, unfortunately, while you guys already got your toys.
I didn't buy anything. I was too busy working.
I thought you were going to pick up, you said you were going to pick something up, though.
I was going to get the Millennium Falcon Bluetooth speaker.
Oh yeah.
And they sold out, and they're not going anywhere. And then we also, they've released a bunch new of pop vinyls, Boba Fett, Wicket, and some other ones, Princess Leia. So, and then just a lot, we have a lot of weird stuff like R2D2 and what's the black R2D2's name? That's on this. What's his call sign? That's on the Death Star. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, there's a set of salt and pepper shakers where the pepper one is the Death Star R2, the astromech droid, and then R2D2. A toaster that looks like Darth Vader that prints the word Star Wars on your toast. Some just weird, awesome stuff like that. So
all the kitchen stuff that came out was awesome. Like the R2D2, oh, yeah. And I know this one's been out for a while, but of course now it's back on the shelf with the new kitchen stuff. The R2D2 cooking timer. To where you rotate the head and it like spins like with it and makes noises.
Oh man, but I want the R2D2 bento box.
Oh, it's
but, and then there was a bunch was awesome. Of we see them at cons all the time, but the relief like wall lights, you know, like well at cons you'll see like the sheet like Captain America's shield or Thor's hammer and it sticks to the wall so it looks like
Target started carrying at least.
So we have there's a Darth Vader mask, a Boba Fett mask, and a Yoda. not mask, but face that sits on the wall and it looks like it's coming.
I can't remember the name of the company, but Target's even started carrying the Marvel ones. Being that that's Disney, maybe you'll see. I guess you're saying if they were at Best Buy and stuff. So seeing those at the stores too, so that'd be cool. Those are pretty awesome. That BBA, if anybody's familiar with Spiro, it's the ball. It's just a ball that you control with your phone, rolls around, and eventually it can learn your voice commands and even learn behaviors that you can have it repeat. Well, this is the same thing with the BB-8, but they've managed to create the magnet set up to where the head stays on the top, and it rolls around just like the Spiro and then learns your voice commands and can eventually just roam the room on its own. And the videos that have come out of people messing with their cats and dogs with it, that alone is worth $150 to check that out. Like, I can just picture my German Shepherd.
Right. I was going to say, it's all fun and game until she destroys it. Right. And you're like,
the only downside is I have some friends who did get it, and looking at the piece, that magnet piece, the head, like underneath the little wheels, look pretty much identical to a bad 90s mouse. So I think they're going to get, like, you're going to have to spend some time there. Cleaning out the crusties that form on the wheels.
Yeah, early reviews, which is probably before it dirty there, have been very favorable for how it holds up and how it stays balanced. And then, of course, the Spiro itself, which, if you, like I said, you get just a normal Spiro, is completely waterproof. Now, this one, the BB-8, is no longer the ball that runs on the ground is waterproof, but because you add that piece in there now, it's only water resistant. So you do have to be a little bit more careful. Where Spiro, you could have taken it straight through puddles and never worried about anything. But pretty cool. 3 hours on a charging bay. I'm definitely going to get me one. That thing looks awesome. So really excited about that. But Adam, you picked up some ships.
Yeah, I got a bunch of the Black Series ships. So they came out with multiple runs of toys. So they have plastic toys, and they have the Black Series, which are all die-cast. That includes ships. It includes action figures, that kind of stuff. So they have 6-inch action figures that are die-cast metal. I was really hoping to get some of those, but they didn't have any that I wanted. I did pick up two sets of ships. One was a 4-pack that had a Millennium Falcon and an X-Wing and what else was in there? TIE Fighter. And then an X-Wing that I think is from the new movie. It's all black and stuff. It looks really, really cool. It had somebody's name attached to it since the movie's not out yet. I haven't memorized that. And then I also picked up a Slave One because, yeah.
Because reason.
Right, yeah. Because it was there and they weren't sold out of it. So obviously I bought it. So that was, I was excited. We didn't go anywhere Friday. We didn't go anywhere till Saturday. And even then it was Saturday afternoon. So I was actually pretty shocked at the selection that was available still. So very happy with those. I got them displayed on my entertainment center and I took one to work. So it's sitting on my desk at work. It's exciting, but they look really, really good. They all have like movable parts, the X-Wing wings lock into attack formation, all that kind of stuff. And they have, landing gear that you can put down. So if you didn't want to set them on the included stands, you can put the, like the little skids down and just set them on that.
Yeah. I missed out on some of the stuff, but at the end of the day, I do have a 3-foot long, awesome, awesome Millennium Falcon. Sorry, Tyler's.
Yeah. You're going to bring that Millennium Falcon up again. Come on, man.
So, I've decided, by the way, to name my stairway the Kessel Run because, it goes from sitting in its place upstairs to down for Lego play for the kids. So when I take it up and down the stairs, I'm like, doing the Kessel run. It's fantastic. And yes, I do push the button so that it does the, you know, the sounds and the light up on the back and everything. And I take it up the stairway. It's awesome. And I am an adult and I adulting Star Wars style. So anyways, yes, Star Wars, great bringing that up. So Force Friday, we almost forgot to mention that. But other than that, a lot of exciting things going on, of course, with Project Nerd. So Project Cosplay, tickets still available. If you can be in or you already are in the Denver area, February 19th through 21st, here by the end of this month, we'll start organizing some great shoot ideas. We have a few already getting planned for Project Nerd specific shoots. And to answer questions, we'll have a lot more around the photography or the shoots of what's going on with it. Of course, the big group shoots will have multiples of people and we can rotate it in or, you know, to add the fun. So if there's multiple Harley Quinns, yeah, we'll rotate in for the series. So don't feel like we're just picking one, but there will be some galleries where we'll pick specific cosplayers to grab some cool sets. And then of course, you'll be allowed to shoot in a lot of those rooms on the fly. A lot of those backdrops and things will be available. Project Nerd Publishing in its infancy, so head on over to pnpublishing.com. We'll get the new site up soon, but with some announcements too around the corner, as we do have some deals in the work, as well as our own internal project going on. And then, of course, the return of the Cosplay Cookbook will be a big thing. So, and then...
Ooh.
Last but not least, remaining this year, you know, we have the Dragon Con coverage spilling out over next week, but you'll also see coverage from the Tallgrass Film Festival and Rocky Mountain Con, both return trips for us, so exciting there. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to each one of you, your closing thoughts. Who would like to start? Because every time I pick somebody, they're like, what, I have to go first? So I'm asked, who wants to say their closing remarks first? Tyler's unmuted already.
I was just going to say, you don't always, it doesn't matter who you pick, you always pick Aaron, and she always says no.
Well, that's only been the past few years, because I knew, because it's no for her. So anyways, go on, Tyler, your closing thoughts.
So I mentioned it at the top last week, and I mentioned it last week, and I mentioned it at the top, but it bears mentioning again. I started The Shepherd's Crown, Terry Pratchett's very last book, published posthumously as he tragically died back in March. So far it's been solid. It's the last just world book. Obviously it's also the last book. It's in the Tiffany aching series. So not like the Discworld full, but it's got a lot of callbacks to Discworld characters that haven't shown up in some of the other books, but, I don't know. Yeah, it's bittersweet. I almost didn't want to read it just because then I would know there would never be a new Discworld book ever again. I thought I'd just keep it on my shelf for a really long time. And then one day just crack and read it. But, started reading it and it's good. So if you haven't read it yet, read it. If you haven't read any Discworld books, you know, go back and find a place to start. There's a million reading order lists out there on the internet, but, you know, a belated rest in peace to Terry Pratchett. And, yeah, it's a little sad. It's bittersweet.
Yeah. Adam, sir. Follow that.
Yeah, thanks. So this is going to seem even more jerky now that Tyler's emotional. But I refreshed my fantasy movie page or fantasy movie league week one standings for the Project Nerd team. And I guess they refigured some stuff. I'm ahead by 1.2 million. So we're going to chalk that one up to the win column.
That's kind of funny.
So, sorry, Tyler, to rub salt on your
remember wound. Remember but, holiday weekends. Holiday weekends are Friday through Monday, so it's not finalized until 8
p.m. But it was finalized.
It was, yeah.
How was it?
We didn't start recording until 10 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, but which would have been 8 p.m. Pacific. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Somebody,
it's interesting.
Somebody put in his cheat code.
So other than that, obviously play the Phantom Pain, everybody. It's enjoyable. It's fun. I will give one piece of advice: utilize your Fulton recovery system on everybody and everything that you can. So that's the cheat you'll get from me on that one. Otherwise, FIFA 16 demo came out this week. Check it out if you like soccer. Always a fun game.
And the download for the update for the expansion of the Taken King came out today too. So
yes,
if you're not planning on playing it, at least turn on your PS4 and download it, because it's a giant download.
Right, get your download. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, video games, movies popping up all over the place. We did share this week, too, the pre-order for Monty Python and the Holy Grail 40th anniversary with some new special features and, of course, some cool packaging. But big shout-out here at the end, of course, Nerd Kung Fu, nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd. Everybody head over there, show them your love. The shirts really are fantastic, good quality t-shirts. As we were talking about too, most of the shirts that are what 2XL up to 7XL, even under $20. So that's fantastic right there too. But nerdkungfu.com/projectnerd, not only shirts, they also have mugs, some, you know,
posters.
Yeah. A lot of cool things going on, but, thanks to them for making, you know, the Nerdcast a possibility for you. So you'll definitely check them out. Give them some love as well, since we have so many amazing listeners, that we love to share with every time. Of course, when you see us on the road, always let us know that, because that makes our day, our weekends for sure. But other than that, that's going to be a wrap for this wonderful episode, shorthanded yet wonderful episode of the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, brought to you by Nerd Kung Fu. There, I did the full title for you guys. So until next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Nerd Kung Fu.